We live in a time where the Browns could legitimately beat the Steelers. We have KC's high-flying offense at home against their rival Broncos. And we have Todd Gurley with some out-of-this-world pricing. Is it too much? We're covering this and a lot more. Welcome to the Future DFS Podcast. My name is Garen. I'm here with Christian. Christian, how you doing, man?
I'm doing excellent. Super excited. We're to week 8 already, halfway through the season. Fantasy season.
Yeah, it's flying.
And getting ready to rock. But we'll be here for you guys through now, through the playoffs, through everything. So let's keep it rolling.
Yeah. Hey, guys, last week our podcast went really, really long. So thank you to any of you who stuck around from beginning to the end. We really appreciate the listener support. We're going to try to switch things up a little bit this week, kind of condense some things so you guys aren't tied to a podcast for an hour and a half. So we're going to kind of jump right into things. If you have any questions, by all means, hit us up at facebook.com/futuredfs. Go to futuredfs.com, join, sign up today. You have access to us in our Slack chat channel, get access to our articles, get access to our Optimizer Futurecast. We are killing it every single week in football, every single day in basketball. We're killing it in hockey. We are doing it. You guys do not want to miss out on this. Christian. Let's talk about some football, man. Which game you want to talk about first?
Absolutely. So starting right off the tees, let's get into Cleveland-Pittsburgh.
Love it.
So this is going to be an exciting game this week. It is a game that Cleveland could technically win. They tied at the beginning of the year, this first game this season, right? I think Steelers offense is coming together. Defense is coming a lot better than it was. Yeah. At the beginning of the year. So definitely add some dynamic to it. Another thing I want to point out in terms of the game is the turnover differential that Cleveland had at the beginning of the year. So at the first game where they tied, Cleveland was sitting at a +5 turnover differential.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the exact stat, but it was somewhere like 150 plus games won, under 10 games lost, and one game tied in like the NFL existence.
Right.
So, and Cleveland was at one tie. So if they keep turning the ball over like they have, it's going to be a much tougher game, which is why I'm really high on the Steelers side this week. I basically love everybody for cash. Big Ben, in my opinion, is an excellent cash play this week at the quarterback. The Steelers wide receivers are both monsters, and you could go either one this week. With Juju being so closely priced to Antonio Brown, I'm kind of leaning towards Brown this week. And then at the running back, I mean, plug and play James Conner. He destroyed the Browns last time they met. So that's going to be an exciting game.
I love Conner this week. He kind of fell off the radar just a little bit in the past couple weeks. But I think with all of the hoopla with Bell supposed to come back and then he didn't, I think that James Conner is going to kind of feel some sort of resurgence. I think he's going to crush it this week. I see him getting over 100 yards, a couple of touchdowns, probably a receiving touchdown. He'll be in pretty much all of my lineups this week, both cash and GPP.
Absolutely. And this week he's playing for a spot. Bell won't be back probably until Wednesday because Tuesday is the trade deadline. So he's going to sit through there so he doesn't get traded. I think he'll jump right back in. However, how good Connor has done and how good he does this week is really going to determine how much of a timeshare this becomes.
Yeah.
And I think Connor knows that. So I expect him to go out there and do very, very big things against the Browns.
Yeah, so do I. The Steelers, I'm a Bengals fan, everybody. So I do not like the Steelers, but I like their organization. I like the way that they run their organization as almost like a family first kind of mindset. So I really think that they're going to reward Connor for everything that he's done versus everything that Le'Veon Bell's putting the organization in that locker room through. Which don't get me wrong. I mean, as a running back, you have a pretty short life as far as your viable NFL career goes. So I mean, I understand him wanting to get as much money as he can in a short amount of time. I don't blame him for that. But at the same time, it's got to be hard on the locker room and hard on the organization. So I really think that Connor's going to get rewarded. Done.
Yeah, most definitely. And
What
then
about
working.
on the oh, go
Oh,
ahead.
sorry. Working our way through the Steelers still. Sorry, just got a couple more things to hit with them. Vance McDonald, I think he's your cheapest play to get some of this high over under action. This game's sitting at a 51 point over under. Both teams looking to score, three touchdowns, four touchdowns. Just so I think it's a good way to get it. And then the Steelers defense. They are way underpriced this week. They're top five in the league for getting to the quarterback, and the Browns are like top 5 or 10 in the league for letting their quarterback get hit. As good as Baker's doing, he's turning the ball over. He's a rookie. He's making mistakes like rookies do. And once that pressure gets on him, I expect Cleveland to score and keep this game close like they always do. But I also expect Baker to make some mistakes, get some turnovers. We talked about that turnover differential. I think it's going to swing back more to a normal differential. I don't think they're going to get plus five again. So it's going to be a good play for the Steelers D. I'm plugging them in just about everywhere, cash and GPP, just due to their price and their upside and how they're still kind of not being talked about.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, the price mismatch for what I think this game's going to do versus what, especially FanDuel, has priced it at this week is definitely something. You guys want to grab pieces of this. So, do you like anything on the Cleveland side?
Yeah, another side of the ball. I really like Jarvis Landry. He
Love
is,
Jarvis Landry this week.
we talked about him last week. Well, actually, I've been talking about him for about 2 or 3 weeks in our notes, talking about his breakout games coming. And I said, if he didn't come last week, we're not playing him anymore. And guess what? His big breakout game came. He's a target monster. He is doing a great job. Baker's just locked in on him. When he gets nervous, he's just looking at Landry. So I love him this week. The Steelers defense, even though they're tightening things up, they're weakest against big plays on through the air. So not only does Jarvis have a chance to get those possession wide receiver targets that he's normally getting, he can break one. Steelers are allowing a lot of yards after catch, so I expect Jarvis to do big things this week.
Yeah, I think that his target share is going to increase noticeably this week. Let's see. Right now, he's averaging about what was it? He is getting about 11 targets per game. I see him getting closer to 15 this week. And I think if the connection starts to stay consistent, I think we see that continuing throughout the rest of the season. So yeah, I've got him projected for over 120 yards, and I think he's just going to feast. I
Yeah.
also like Njoku in the passing game again this week. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I definitely like Njoku. I think there's so he's right in the middle for me. I really like his play. I kind of not too thrilled over his price this week. He went up a little bit, but I do like him. He's definitely an option. Him and Landry are very safe for cash this week.
Yeah. At $5,700 for as many of the targets that come his way that he actually receives, I don't have any problem playing him at 5,700. So yeah, I've got him as my third favorite tight end this week.
Excellent. Yeah, he's a great player.
So, anything else you want to touch on from this game?
No, don't be afraid to stack this game up. It's gonna be a good game. Very
Absolutely.
high fantasy value this week for here for the Steelers and the Cleveland Browns.
And guys, again, futuredfs.com. Get in there, chat with us, find out exactly how we are planning on stacking this game up. Take some of those plays, run them through our optimizer, and then just go out and just crush your opponents. What's the next game you have up, man?
Next up, let's go Tampa Bay and Cincinnati. So
Yeah.
this is an exciting game, especially for you, Bengals
Yep.
fan.
Who
But
day?
this is in my future bets article as well. I've got the Cincinnati -4.5. I've got them covering the spread and doing amazing. Tampa Bay's defense is just awful.
It is gross.
There's no other way to put it. The Bengals defense is not too much better, but the Tampa Bay offense, as dynamic as they should be, they're struggling a little bit in terms of the red zone. They're not converting their trips to the red zone into touchdowns, which is a big deal. So I don't mind players from that side. I talk about in my article, you know, getting Winston in GPPs, pairing him up with a Godwin or an Evans, because there will be a lot of yards thrown, but the touchdowns just aren't coming. And eventually they will. There'll be a positive regression for that, but I don't know if it's going to happen this week. On the opposite side of the ball, you could play your Bengals. I have Andy Dalton as my number one cash quarterback. He's just in terms of price and what he can do. I know he killed everybody last week. We didn't tout him, so hopefully you didn't play him. But he crumbles on late night games. Anytime he's played Sunday night or Monday night, or if he plays the Steelers, he turns into this guy that
he
is not
does.
really Andy Dalton. But any other time, he's good. He's going to be at home. He's going to be in the middle of the day. I really love him in this position. And then in GPPs, I like pairing him with AJ Green or even Uzama at tight end.
Yep. And as much as I don't want to say, I really like Jameis Winston this week also. In my projections, I've got Dalton and Winston really, really close in projections. So, I mean, their price is exactly, they're both 7,800 on FanDuel. Dalton, you save a little bit of money. Or no, I'm sorry, spend only $200 more on DK. As far as their projections, I mean, when I'm looking at these numbers, it's kind of even across the board for what I've got them projected at. Two touchdowns each, both around 40 pass attempts. So, where the difference is and why I like Dalton a little bit better is I think that Winston's going to throw an interception, maybe two. So that's kind of the separator for me. But as far as production without the mistakes, they're about even for me. I love Joe Mixon this week, though. We'll talk about him for a minute.
Yeah, so I think Joe Mixon is a stud GPP play simply because of ownership, right? He didn't have his best game last week. Everybody just feels dirty about the Bengals because of what they did last week. People are in DFS or what have you done for me lately? So everything is pointing away from the Bengals in terms of positional players. But again, the defense of Tampa Bay is awful. If the way I see the game going with the Bengals covering the spread and just kind of getting out there and dominating the Bucks, they're going to run the ball with Mixon. He's going to get a lot of that grinding the clock down. And if the Bucks stay in the game, guess what? Mixon's pretty good out of the backfield. He's pretty versatile of a player for them. So I really like him. I think he's safe for cash, but I like him more in GPPs just because the ownership at his price point. People are usually going to just go ahead and click Connor in. He's a little more chalky this week. Or they're going to get Kareem Hunt, who's right around that same price, or they're just going to go in and plug in Gurley. So with that savings in terms of ownership, I really like him this week.
Yep. And if you guys are playing the Peyton Barber or Ronald Jones game, which if you're doing it in season long, just stop doing that. But for a GPP, if you're trying to decide between those two, it's Peyton Barber for me this week. I think he's going to end up getting the kind of the lion's share for the rest of the season. If that's something you're interested in.
As much as I love Ronald Jones preseason, it's time for everybody just to swallow the pill and understand that he is not going to be the starter this year, guys. It's going to be Peyton Barber. And unless he's injured, Ronald Jones can sit in your wire unless you're in a keeper league or a season long or a dynasty.
Yep. Yeah. And we mentioned AJ Green. If you guys are doing a game stack, my personal favorite is Dalton to Green and running it back with Mike Evans. I think Mike Evans has an opportunity here to have a pretty good game. He'll probably see pay dirt at least once. So I don't hate him this week.
Yeah, I like Evan and Godwin both in GPP formats this week. Godwin's target percentage is going up.
Do you like either of the defenses in this game?
Absolutely not. Nope, not a chance. Not this week. Tampa Bay or Cincinnati. I don't think we'll like the Tampa Bay defense at all this year. And Cincinnati's more of a streaming matchup type defense.
Yeah. Okay. I don't have anything else for this game. Ready to move on?
Yeah. Let's hit up. This is one of the craziest spreads on the slate I've ever seen, but let's hit up the Rams and Green Bay Packers. So this is the highest over-under that we'll see all year, I bet, and it's one of the highest you'll actually ever see in terms of Vegas projections. It's 56.5 point over-under, which is just crazy. Yes, we're in a new high-flying NFL scoring this year with the rules to protect the passer. It's a more offensive-based NFL. But still, from a gambler's perspective, seeing an over-under like that is crazy, right? The other crazy thing you have is you have Aaron Rodgers as a 9.5-point underdog. That is just baffling. That's the biggest point differential he's ever seen as a from a betting perspective. Granted, the Packers are not who they used to be. They're not really Super Bowl contenders this year. They have a lot of things to figure out. However, it's still Aaron Rodgers. The dude can still ball out. The Rams defense is not too scary. And I think the Packers are going to, one, cover the spread. They're probably not going to win, but they'll cover the spread. They'll get one of those late, you know, fourth quarter, 4 minutes left, touchdown to cover the spread and then call it in.
Right.
But this is a really exciting game. Because of everybody's prices in this game, most players I like here are more in a GPP perspective just because they're so expensive. If I was going to throw out a couple guys for cash, I really like Robert Woods. I think he's going to catch a lot of balls. I think he's going to get a touchdown. The Packers.
Yeah, his floor is, I mean, he's gotten his point, the point to where his floor is, I have no problem with it. I think he's safe for cash.
Yeah, especially his price. His price is not crazy. The way FanDuel did prices this week, they bumped the running backs up a lot, and the receivers are all, like, decent price. You could go out and get some studs in the 7,000s. Yeah, so yeah.
Robert Woods is 7,600 on FanDuel, 6,800 on DraftKings.
Yeah, so I'm all over that. I'm plugging Woods in as many places as I can. And then, obviously, Gurley. I mean, he's on pace to beat Priest Holmes' touchdown record. Like, the guy's a monster. So just plug him in if you want.
So let's talk about his price real quick. He is, I think, $1 billion. This week he's $11,000 on FanDuel and $9,800 on DraftKings. $9,800 on DraftKings, I have no problem with. At $11,000, my butthole clenches just a little bit because we've been doing this long enough. to where we know that there's going to be some mathematical regression at some point in time. Now, guys, when I say that, please, nobody think that, oh, Garen just said Todd Gurley's going to fall. No, Todd Gurley's going to be a stud every single week for the rest of this season. But he's going to have a game at some point in time where he does not produce to his numbers. It's just, it's going to happen. So at $11,000, do you kind of pause for at least a moment before just throwing him into your lineup?
Yeah, he's definitely getting to the point, despite how safe he is, where it's going to be very hard for him to get his points per $1,000 in terms of FanDuel or DK pricing, especially on FanDuel. I still don't mind him in DK. I think DK, go ahead and plug him in.
Yep.
Because there's so much value elsewhere. However, in FanDuel, there's not as much value this week, especially at the running back position and even the wide receiver position. So it's going to be hard to cram him in there. So I do pause for a second. If you're going to play him, I'm never going to tell you not to, because he is Todd Gurley and he has the opportunity to score 4 touchdowns any given game. On the contrary, it is important to note that he will regress in terms of price per thousand, in terms of he'll still score touchdowns. He'll still get a lot of yards catching and passing, but he's not going to hit his price at some point. And that's what FanDuel is playing on. They just keep raising it until everybody plays him and he doesn't hit and they're going to be in the good. So I'm especially fading him in tournaments this week, but
still
viable for cash.
Yeah. So when I'm putting together a lineup for cash, I want guys who can get 2.5 times their value. I look for three minimum to 3.5 or higher for GPPs, which is why I'm right there with you. I absolutely will not have him in any tournaments this week. But I also have a hard time seeing him hit value this week on in FanDuel. But
absolutely, it's going to be difficult. And that's why in my notes you'll see he's my last listed running back. There's a lot of guys I like ahead of him. I mean, we'd be crazy not to just mention him because he is friggin' girly.
And I'll have him. He'll make a couple of my lineups. I'll have him in a couple cash lineups. But he's, for me this week, he's not a must start on FanDuel just because of his price.
Absolutely.
The talent's there. What about Aaron Jones on the other side of the ball? Any interest in him?
No, I'm staying away from that three-headed monster of a Packers running back core. I don't like it in season long, and I really, really hate it in DFS. It's too much. It's a guessing game. In cash games, we're looking for something really safe. And then in GPPs, we're looking for high upside. And when you're just spreading it out so much between different guys, the upside's hard to find. If there's an injury there, obviously we jump on that because they'd be mispriced. But as of right now, I mean, I'm not too far into those guys. On the Packers side of the ball, who I really do like is Devontae Adams. I think he is a GPP lock, and he's safe for cash.
Yep. Yeah, I like him this week. I've got him pegged for a touchdown, just under 100 yards, probably closer to the 75-80-yard mark. No reason why he doesn't hit value, especially in cash. And on top of that, I mean, he's definitely the number one option. He's seeing about 12 targets per game, just under 12 targets per game, versus take a look at Allison. He's getting right around 7 targets per game. So, I mean, we know where the ball's going. As far as the Green Bay side, really the only two that interest me is Rodgers, because it's Aaron Rodgers, and Devontae Adams.
Yeah, same. Cobb and Allison are a little banged up still, so they'll play, they'll catch passes, but they're not just lights out this week. It could be anybody this week, so it's hard to call for a game, if you're going to plug them into a lineup. So,
what about Scantling and GPP? Any interest there?
No, not this week, unless we hear more injury news with either Cobb or I should have brain fart with either
Cobb or Stantling.
No, you have to edit that out. Sorry,
Allison.
Yeah, unless we get more injury news with either Cobb or Allison, I'm staying away from Scantling.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Any other pieces to this game you're interested in?
Jared Goff for GPPs. You could even plug him into cash. Let's be real.
Yeah.
He's not the Jared Goff from Jeff Fisher days. That's all we can say. So right. Yeah, I like him a lot. Pairing him up with Woods is a great play in both formats this week.
Completely agree. All right. Let's talk about the game in Kansas City this week.
Yeah, Kansas City Broncos. So this is the next most important game on the slate. Basically, this week, guys, we're going over the games that you really need to be looking at in terms of DFS. There's a couple other plays throughout the other games, but go ahead and subscribe at futuredfs.com and you'll be able to read our articles and see everybody we're talking about. But going out Chiefs and Broncos, 54.5 point over under. The Chiefs are a huge favorite, and granted, they deserve it. Their offense is just insane. My favorite play from the Chiefs this week is Kareem Hunt. His price is amazing. He's your girly pivot. Saved you a couple thousand bucks. He's really coming out these past couple of weeks. They're really getting involved in every way, shape, and form. He's doing everything he can to just run over guys, jump over guys, get touchdowns. Like, his metrics and stats aren't actually that far off of Todd Gurley's. He just started off a little slower. So he's a guy I really like for the Chiefs. And then basically you could plug in anybody else you want. I mean, they're going to be high price because they're going to score points, but that just depends who you want. Kelsey's obviously the safest tight end on the slate this week, just because there's no Ertz and Gronk is injured and neither of them are on the main slate. Tyreek Hill is a freak. He'll score you lots of points. He's also pretty expensive this week. So,
yeah, he's at 7,800, still in that $7,000 range. So, I mean, I think for what he's capable of doing, he's going to hit value. I mean, short of an injury or something absolutely crazy happening, he'll hit value. He's my favorite wide receiver this week, actually. I don't see this game disappointing as far as hitting the over-under mark that Vegas has. Kelsey, he's my top tight end of the week. This offense is just, if you guys have not watched a game with this offense yet, take some time, watch a game. They're fun to watch.
Yeah, so they're an exciting team. And then the other side of the ball, my favorite play, I got two plays for the Broncos. All right, I'm actually locking in Philip Lindsay. He's my value play of the week. He's my free square. They're short at running back with Royce Freeman being hurt. Devontae Booker is bad in terms of an NFL running back. Yeah. So Philip Lindsay, he's already their bell cow, and then the backfield just got cleaned up a little bit for him. So he's gonna get out there and he's gonna work. His price is not bad at all. Chiefs defense is not scary, so he's gonna get some points. I like him a lot. And then the other guy I'm looking at this week is Emmanuel Sanders. He's the number three wide receiver in season long right now. Nobody expected it. The guy is throwing touchdowns. He's catching touchdowns. He's hustling yards after catch. I mean, he's working hard. I don't think he's gonna get traded at the trade deadline. So he's their number one. So he's definitely gonna be a good play this week. And if he does get traded, man, he's gonna have a really nice show tonight, or excuse me, Sunday against the Chiefs to show for his highlight reel to his new team.
Yeah. Yeah, and While I completely agree with Sanders and Lindsey, guys, this season Kansas City's defense has been suspect until the last couple of games. Their defense has scored 2 touchdowns in the last 3 weeks. They're just kind of like we talked about at the top of the pod with Pittsburgh's defense kind of starting to gel and turn into what we expected them to be. Kansas City's defense is starting to turn things around. I'm not saying to play them, but let's keep an eye on Kansas City's defense. I think maybe if they continue on the track that they're going, it might be something that we take a look at next week or, I think next week they're on a bye, but moving forward for the rest of the season. So, yeah, just keep an eye on them.
Yeah, their defense is stepping up. It is still pretty porous, though. Yeah, they're definitely somebody you want to watch. But this week, like you said, I still like those guys a little bit. And as the weeks go on, hopefully they improve their defense, because once it gets to playoff time, it doesn't matter how good your offense is, you're gonna need some defense and some stops, and they're definitely a Super Bowl contender. So they're actually the favorites right now in Vegas, so they need to make sure they get that put together.
Right. Absolutely. So, hey guys, look, we've covered quite a bit. Please come check us out at futuredfs.com or hit us up at facebook.com/futuredfs. We've got a lot more to offer for this week for football. We've got basketball, hockey, and like I said, you guys, we're legitimately killing it each and every night. So, come get a piece of this. What we like to do at the bottom of every pod is take a couple players that we talked about, plug them into FutureCast, and run it and toss the lineup out there. I've got it set for the Sunday Monday slate. So, yeah, feel free to take this lineup once we run it, use it, like it. Come check us out and get some more of what we have to offer, guys. So, who are you thinking about plugging in here today, man?
I always like, we've talked about this on some previous podcasts, but for the new listeners, just talking about how I build lineups, I always like to find my free squares, my value plays, and then plug in the studs behind that, and then build the stacks while you're doing that. This week, my two free squares are Philip Lindsay, the Broncos, just based on his price and his upside, and then Vance McDonald getting a piece of that Steelers Cleveland game at a cheaper price. In the tight end landscape, that's been pretty rough lately, this whole year actually.
Okay.
So yeah, let's plug those in and see what happens.
All right. So listen. The sound of me waiting on it to run. All right. Here we go. Okay. All right. I like this. I like this. At the quarterback position, FutureCast says play Jameis Winston, which I mean, I don't like that, but I like it, and I completely agree with it. Like I said, I think that Jameis Winston is every bit as likely to do well as Andy Dalton is in that high scoring game. I think it's going to be a close back and forth matchup. At running back gives us Alvin Kamara. I like that. And then James Conner. And this is, guys, this is for FanDuel, by the way, for the Sunday Monday slate on FanDuel. So last week we did DraftKings. This week we're going FanDuel. So let's see, we have Winston, Kamara, Connor. For wide receiver, it gives us Tyreek Hill, Robert Woods. And guys, if you haven't picked him up in season long yet, get Tre'Quan Smith. He's the third wide receiver that they gave us here on FutureCast. At tight end, we locked in Vance McDonald. And our flex, we locked in Philip Lindsay. And for the defense, it gives us the Steelers, which we talked about at the top of the pod, saying we
Ooh,
like them this week.
that's a hot line. I love that.
Yep.
Plug that in, guys. Win some cash on us, and then come join us at futuredfs.com.
All right, man. Hey, I had a lot of fun today. Looking forward to doing this next week. Guys, again, futuredfs.com or facebook.com/futuredfs. Come check us out. Come win some money. Plug this line up. Go kill it. Everybody have a good week. Talk to you later.
Sounds good. You guys have a good week.
See you, man.
See you.